Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The final hour of the show starts now. I am Rob Brown. Diesel is back at the network studio. He's the head honcho at the Radio Ranch, pushing the ones and twos in charge of the broadcast this afternoon. Give us a call, 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN. Text us at 71307-71307. Start it with ESPN. Tweet me at The Rob Brown Show, at The Rob Brown Show. Hit us up on Twitter. You can also get Diesel on Twitter, at Diesel on Radio, at Diesel on Radio. If you'd like to email me something more long format but you don't want to come on here with it, that's cool too. Rob Brown at ESPNUpstate.com, Rob Brown at ESPNUpstate.com. A couple of texts that have come in. I asked the question just to make sure I'm 100% clear on this. Is it USC or are they now officially U of SC when we're talking about the University of South Carolina? Here are the texts we've got so far. Rob, it's U of SC. They rebranded themselves last year. Another one says, Rob, the Gamecocks officially changed the name to U of SC. At ESPN, as a Gamecocks fan, I know they changed it, but I hate that they changed it. Rob, Google U of FC and then USC and see for yourself. And finally, hey, Rob and Diesel, it is true. As a U of SC alumni, I know all their fundraising now has U of SC on it. So I guess we are conclusive now that USC Left Coast has cornered the market on the USC moniker, and now it is Clemson and U of SC in our own backyard. All right, let's talk a little bit of NBA ball. Last night we got the restart tipped off down in O-Town, Orlando, Florida, in the bubble at Walt Disney World, and I sat my happy little behind down, y'all, and I watched the hell up out of some NBA ball. Jazz knock off my Pelicans, 106-104, your final in that one. Rudy Gobert had himself a double-double for the Jazz in 34 minutes, ended up with 12 boards and 14 points. 20 points out of Donovan Mitchell to go with 5 boards, 5 assists. Mike Conley Jr. knocked down 20 as well. Jordan Clarkson with 23, 13 for Joe Ingles, and 12 for Royce O'Neal. The Pelicans, on the other hand, led out of 23 from Brandon Ingram, 21 from J.J. Redick, who was balling out last night. Drew Holiday with 20. Zion in 15 minutes had 13 points and 1 assist to go along with it. The Jazz, 37 of 84 from the floor. The Pels, 40 of 94. 8 of 34 from behind the arc were the Jazz, but they owned the rebound department. They ended up with 12 offensive boards. Of course, 11 of 31 from behind the arc went the Pelicans, one of their worst nights shooting since Zion made his way back. The big difference was from the free throw line. The Jazz had 28 efforts from the line, just 18 for the Pelicans. The Jazz knocked down 24 for an 85.7% mark from the line, whereas the Pelicans on their 18 shots, 13 good, 72% from the line. Nothing else really stood out. Everything else was about equal overall. 45 boards for the Birds, 43 for the Jazz, 22 assists for the Pels, 17 for Utah. The Pelicans had 2 blocks, 6 of them for Utah, 12 steals for the Birds, 11 for the Jazz, 20 turnovers for both squads, 48 points in the paint for the Pelicans, 56 of their 106 came from the paint for the Jazz, and then 25 personal fouls against the Pelicans, just 23 for the Jazz. But more of the Pelicans' personal fouls were shooting fouls than the Jazz, as they went to the line 10 more times, and that would make the difference in that one. But the big question that I have out of that game is why? Why, when you are playing for your playoff lives, right? You are in Orlando if you're New Orleans and you are Zion Williamson. You are in New Orleans for one mission and one mission alone, unless they make the playoffs, right? I don't think anybody really expects you out of the first round, but they are expecting you to get that 8 seed or at least to be in that 2-game playoff for the 8 seed. Now, the New Orleans Pelicans, and in fairness, right, I don't think anybody expected the Pelicans to go 8-0. Nobody thought, I don't think there's going to be a team in Orlando that goes 8-0. The Lakers might do it, though, without Rajon Rondo. It'll be a little bit more difficult, and without Avery Bradley, it'll be a little bit more difficult. But I don't really think anybody expects anybody to go 8-0. So one loss is not the end of the line for the Pelicans. One loss against a team that they should have beaten, and a team that they held a 16-point lead in the third quarter over, and then just let them dwindle that thing away, is bad. The big problem, though, is that Zion Williamson played 15 minutes. Somebody explain that to me. And I understand the whole premise of, oh, it's a conditioning issue, right? It's a conditioning issue. They're trying to make sure that they don't spend him. They're trying to make sure that he doesn't end up overdoing it. They're doing their best to make sure that Zion is available for the backstretch of these 8 games, the last 4 games, especially considering the schedule does get easier from here, right? The Pelicans had, and we've talked about this, the Pelicans have the easiest game, the easiest schedule remaining between now and the end of the restart. We know what their schedule looks like. And because of the fact that they had the easiest remaining schedule in the league, they also got the easiest remaining schedule through the rest of the restart. They opened up with the Jazz. They'll come back up next against the Clippers. Clippers looked good against the Lakers last night. Not a guaranteed win. Then they've got the Memphis Grizzlies. That's a must-win game, right? The game Saturday against the Clippers is a big deal. But the game on Monday against the Grizz is a must win. Then they got the Sacramento Kings and game 4, also a must win. Washington Wizards next Friday. That is a you better win. You lose that game, you might as well just pack it up and go home. They've got the Spurs. They should win that game. Then they've got the Kings again. Must win that game. And then they wrap it up against the Magic. The Magic looked pretty good in the scrimmages. Took the Lakers to the line, though it was the Lakers without Anthony Davis and LeBron. But they ought to win that one. I said coming into this, the Pels are going to need to go 6-2 if they're going to get themselves in to that 2-game playoff, likely against the Grizz. I think they can outpace the Trailblazers. The Trailblazers have a much, much more difficult road ahead of them in terms of schedule, so they can outpace the Trailblazers and break that tie and get within that 3.5 or 4, whatever it is they need to get into within the Grizzlies to have that 2-game playoff, which I would consider making the playoffs, but we'll see how that plays out. That being said, you had a real good chance to win that game last night, and a big win over the Jazz to open up the restart, I think, would have been a huge step in the right direction, but they didn't play Zion. 15 minutes, 13 points, a few boards to go along with it. Why not, said the media to Alvin Gentry, why not play the best player on the floor when Derek Cousins was getting absolutely manhandled by Rudy Gobert? Jackson Hayes had some moments, but the lack of veteranship out of that young man, Rudy Gobert, was able to just put him in positions that Jackson Hayes shouldn't have been in. Why not play Zion Williamson down the stretch, Alvin Gentry, head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans? Here was his answer when asked.
We wish we could have played him down the stretch, but, you know, he had used the minutes that was given to us, so, you know, that's just, you know, that's the way it is. I mean, we weren't going to stick him back out there. You know, our medical people said that we played him in the minutes that was allowed us to play him, and, you know, we'll just move on. I thought he looked good. I thought he had some good moments. And obviously, you know, we're a much better and a much different basketball team when he's out on the floor.
Cool story, bro. Cool story. I understand the medical team had him on restricted minutes. All right. I get it. I understand. Don't agree with it. Right. There was no point out there last night after 15 minutes of play that Zion looked like he wasn't capable of playing another five. Right. I'm not saying Zion should have been in there for the entire duration of the game. I'm not saying it would have been a good idea to run Zion the whole game. But when you get down inside the last 2 minutes of play and you are nursing a two-point lead and you're going back and forth on the leaderboard with the Jazz and they are getting all their points by tossing it down inside to Rudy Gobert, who is just absolutely owning the 6'9 starting center you have and Derek Favors, how do you not stick Zion in there for 2 minutes of clutch play? That's been the problem for Zion's Pelicans all year long, right? And by the way, I'm talking about this not just because they're my Pelicans, but I'm assuming there's a Zion following here, right? I'm assuming that. I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me that you have the most electric and charismatic player in the NBA that's not LeBron or James Harden right there on the bench. You need a solid 120 seconds out of him, and the Pelicans win that game. And for the first time, last night, Zion Williamson, after the game was over, he got asked about the minutes restriction. For the first time, Zion sounded frustrated.
Honestly, I don't know how long it will take. I guess maybe a couple games. But it is frustrating, but it's not so frustrating because, you know, like, I could easily, they could probably not even let me play, but you know, I'm able to play, so I'm gonna do as much as I can while I'm out there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, Diesel. Maybe I'm being favorable here because I really like the kid, but Zion sounded frustrated by having minutes restrictions in a way that actually flat out, I'll go ahead and say it, Zion's in the last 2 minutes of that game last night. The Pelicans win that game, and the Pelicans are one step closer to the playoffs. That's the first time I have not heard Zion Williamson sound like he was 100% bought into what that program was asking of him.
Well, of course he's frustrated. He wants to get out on the court, and, you know, doctors are prescribing these minute restrictions. We know players, they don't care what the doctors say. The players just want to play.
Yeah, and again, it's not just one. I mean, you're right. They do want to play, and that at the end of the day is the end goal of everybody in the NBA. I suspect it's even more frustrating and even more difficult to vibe with, if you will, when your team could have won that game if you're out there, right? I think there were 3 to 4 dumb possessions by the Pelicans down the stretch in the last, let's say, 2.5 minutes that cost them that game that I think if Zion's on the floor, they open up, and it's difficult. So that's one of the game in the books. When we come back, are the Lakers the team to beat? Did they establish their dominance in game one of the restart last night? It was a hell of a basketball game. Came down to the very last shot between the Lake Show and the Clippers. But LeBron, clutch at the end of that game, and showed me in that game that his game has evolved at 35, coming up on 36 years of age. And he might be more dangerous in the role he's playing now than he has been over the past 2 or 3 years being that primary attacker. We'll talk about that when we come back in just a minute. Got some sound from that game as well. You're listening to The Rob Brown Show. You're listening to ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back, South Carolina. Great to be with you. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. It is Rob Brown. It is Diesel. And it is you, 844-477-3776. Text me, 71307. Start your text with ESPN if you'd like to get at us in that direction. Like the guy who tweeted, Diesel, just give me your reaction to this because I don't feel I need to. We just got tweeted, Diesel, and I quote, Zion is trash, end quote. Yeah, that was my reaction too. That was exactly my reaction.
Cool guy. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for being a part of the conversation.
Sweet take, bro. Absolutely phenomenal take. So anyway, Lakers last night taking on the Clippers. We got towards the end of the game, and then LeBron James did a LeBron James.
4 second difference. LeBron on the fly. Goes on this and puts it up and in. LeBron James gives the Lakers the lead. Great follow up in 16 for LeBron. George at one side. At the other end, LeBron. Two terrific all-stars, superstars, making their imprint on this one.
LeBron James drives the middle of the lane, throws up a prayer, doesn't go in, and then people forgot that he's allowed to move after he shoots. LeBron goes to the rock, gets his own rebound, and then just drops in a little floater to give the Lakers a 2-point lead. The Clippers come down the other way, and then LeBron plays a little defense.
Here go the Clippers down by two. Kawhi's got it. You see the clock. LeBron on Kawhi, down to four. Here's George. He's way outside. A lunging three. No rebound. Caruso. That's it. Lakers have won. Lakers have won it.
Paul George was looking for a foul down low on that shot.
Paul George did not get the foul down low on that shot as LeBron was able to pitch in on some defense after scoring the go-ahead bucket. And the Lakers get themselves that dub to start the restart over the L.A. Clippers. Levels up the season series between the two squads out of Hollywood at 2-2. The Lakers bumped to 41-14, easily atop the NBA's Western Conference. The Clippers now right behind them at 44-22. Kawhi had 28 points, 30 out of Paul George. PG-13 was doing work last night. Only three players in double digits for the Clips last night. 12 points out of Patrick Beverley. The Lake Show, Anthony Davis, 35 minutes and 34 points to show for it, alongside 8 boards, 4 assists, 16 out of LeBron, but he had 11 boards in 34 minutes as well. And what I love last night about LeBron, and this is something I am going to be very, very closely paying attention to moving forward. LeBron last night was arguably the most unselfish I've seen him in his career. One of the things that I have loved about LeBron James over the years, and he does not get enough credit for this as far as I'm concerned, LeBron James is an incredibly unselfish player. And in fact, to his detriment in many aspects of the game, right? There have been games that I have watched LeBron end up drawing a double team that I still thought he probably should have been the guy taking the shot. And he'd look over and he'd find a J.R. Smith or a Zdenis Gogoskis or a Dwayne Wade, wherever he was on at the time. Last night, LeBron was also ridiculously unselfish. Ended up with 7 assists and, frankly, should have had more as there were a couple of shots that the Lake Show dropped after a LeBron assist. The dude was running the point last night almost exclusively, right? Creating mismatches. The Clips were having to send Kawhi out to guard him, and it was opening up the floor for guys like Alex Caruso for his 7 or Dion Waiters for his 11 with a couple of threes to show out of it. But what it did was show me that LeBron is absolutely committed to understanding the best course of action for the Lakers to have success, which means Anthony Davis has to be the centerpiece of that offense. And last night, he absolutely was. LeBron last night was opening the floor up for Anthony Davis, who had a big-time game, right? LeBron was bringing the ball up the floor instead of what I thought was going to be the case, which is that they were going to have Caldwell Pope or Danny Green or whoever was running the point, Alex Caruso, whoever was running the point at that time, bring the ball up and kind of set up that old-school triangle. You put AD on the block, you put LeBron out on the wing, you have the point guard alternating the ball left and right, and you run kind of a three-man, but that's not what they did. They put the guard out on the wing. They brought LeBron up with the ball, which meant that at any point, LeBron was obviously always a threat to drive the lane, but they forced that defense to focus on LeBron and take some of the pressure off of Anthony Davis, and it let AD go off for 34. We didn't even know if AD was going to play because of that eye injury. He did play. Played exceptionally well last night. LeBron James has figured out, and I, you know, Frank Vogel gets a lot of credit for this because one of the most difficult things, I think, in the NBA is to coach a team that has a once-in-a-lifetime or once-in-a-generation talent on it and take full advantage of the talents and capabilities of that individual. Frank Vogel has done that. He coaches this team very, very well, but he also lets LeBron and AD have the opportunity to be LeBron and AD out on the floor, and it has not led to LeBron James being a selfish basketball player. It has not led to LeBron James going out there and basically just trying to take over the floor and demand that he's the centerpiece. In fact, quite the opposite. LeBron James has realized, look, Anthony Davis is going to be the guy who scores points in this offense. LeBron's still going to go get his 30-point days. There's no doubt about it. But he realizes that AD scoring 30 a game is the best way for the Lakers to win. So instead of running the scoring threat out on the wing where it's get the ball to LeBron, let AD move out and let Bron do his thing, Bron said, I'll bring the ball up. I'll work the ball from the top of the key. I will force defenses to bring their offense towards the top of the lane, excuse me, their defense to the top of the lane to be prepared for me. And it's going to open the floor up for Anthony Davis. And that is exactly what happened last night. And I loved watching it. I put money down on the Lakers last night. Lost a little bit on the Pelicans, betting them on the money line. Turned around, bet the Lakers on the money line. And I honestly, by the end of the game, I wasn't even really worried about the money because I was having such a good time. Such a good time watching the way that LeBron James was working that offense, running the one spot and demanding, all right, you're going to pull Kawhi up. You're going to clear out one of your 3-4 guys from the lane. It's going to be a straight 5v5 with Anthony Davis down there against your post players, and it worked like a dream. The Clippers made a game out of it, but that's the second-place team in the West, right? Like, that same offense against most teams in the NBA is going to be successful. It's just going to be. The Lakers are my NBA favorites to win the title right now. Giannis and the Bucks are going to be fun, but that's all Giannis, right? And Giannis and LeBron basically negate each other. That's why we're having the MVP discussion. So Giannis and LeBron negate each other, but if Giannis and LeBron negate each other and LeBron's working the offense that way, despite how good of a defender Giannis Antetokounmpo is, if LeBron can take Giannis out of that and can open up that floor, the Lakers are going to run wild on the Bucks. I got to tell you, I don't think there's a team in the East that beats LA right now. I do not think there's a team in the East that beats LA. It is LeBron's time to shine, but he's shining through Anthony Davis, not over Anthony Davis, and that is the way that the Lakers are going to win the West and going to win another NBA championship. Quick break. One more topic to get through, and then we'll hit Twitter trending topics to wrap up the show. I am Rob Brown. My man Diesel's back at the network studio. This is the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Wrapping up the week here on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. So Harvey Updike has passed away. Who is Harvey Updike, you might ask? Well, if you are deeply, deeply involved in the world of SEC football, you know good and damn well who Harvey Updike is. Harvey Updike was the gentleman who a few years back went on to, he's a big Alabama fan, to the point that he named his son Bear. Of course, after Bear Bryant, the legendary Alabama coach. Harvey Updike went onto the campus of Auburn down in Opelika, Alabama, and poisoned the two trees, the two old oak trees that grew at Toomer's Corner. Toomer's Corner, of course, is the sacred spot there on the campus of Auburn. And traditionally, after big Auburn wins, students and alums will head down to Toomer's Corner, and they will toilet paper, they will TP their own trees. Look, I don't get it. I don't understand why doing something that we all used to do to our teachers when we were aggravating and damaging your own property is a celebration. But hey, college football's weird, and I'm here for it, okay? So Harvey Updike passed away at 71 years of age over the weekend. Yesterday.
Business leaders
and it was interesting. So when Harvey Updike back in 2010 poisoned the trees at Toomer's Corner, I was on the radio down in Florida, on the Florida Panhandle, which is affectionately referred to as LA or Lower Alabama. And Harvey Updike kind of became this caricature that represented the worst kind of fans in college football. And his notoriety grew to a national level. He actually called the Paul Feinbaum show and admitted that he poisoned the trees in the famous intersection after the Tigers had defeated the Crimson Tide last November. He called in to Feinbaum's show and he said, "Let me tell you what I did. The weekend after the Iron Bowl, I went to Auburn because I live 30 miles away and I poisoned the two Toomer's trees. I put Spike 80DF in them. They're not dead yet, but they definitely will die." He was later sentenced to 3 years in prison for criminal damage of an agricultural facility, but the sentence was reduced to around 70 days. He was also ordered to pay $800,000 in court penalties and restitution. As of late October of last year, he had only paid around $7,000 overall. The trees at Toomer's Corner obviously are very famous. They are kind of one of the symbols of Auburn. Feinbaum was told by Harvey Updike, quote, "I didn't mean it. Paul, they're only trees. Not like I tried to kill their crow that flies around. You know, I didn't try to kill LSU's tiger." Feinbaum responded by saying, "We've had this conversation privately, but we're going to have it publicly. You still don't get it, do you?" Updike replied, quote, "Well, Paul, I get it. I'm not as dumb as I look. It was supposed to be a joke." I was on the radio, Diesel, when that happened back in 2010 down in Destin, which is Look, it's an SEC melting pot. You got Florida fans, you got Alabama and Auburn, LSU fans that are all kind of spread out around the panhandle. I had people calling my show, Auburn fans calling my show, legitimately crying over those two trees being killed. Harvey Updike became, Diesel, an illustration of the most over-the-top type of college football fans, became larger than life because of it. But what I would throw out there to any listeners who think, well, I should try to go the Harvey Updike route, the dude died poor and alone, okay? Because it's just football. It's just football. What was the reaction up here? And I don't know if you were on the sports day. Well, no, I guess you wouldn't have been on ESPN Upstate because it wasn't a thing in 2010. But what was the reaction up here to Harvey Updike? Just because I'm curious, Diesel.
I mean, everybody thought he was nuts. He's a kook. I mean, why would you poison a tree? It doesn't have any will of its own. It's not scoring touchdowns. It's not making tackles. Like, why would you poison a tree? Why would you do that?
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that I could think of that would even be a remote comparison around here, and it'd be absolutely horrible if somebody did it, but if people started leaving, like, dead chickens or dead cats around college campuses around game day when Clemson and South Carolina play each other. That's the only thing that's even remotely close. I mean, why? It takes a sick individual to do that.
it's one of those things, like, it's not funny, but it's so ridiculous that it kind of is, right? It's so ridiculous that it kind of is. Anyway, so Harvey Updike has passed away, 71 years of age, according to his son, Bear. Also breaking news out of the Southeastern Conference, some of the results about the meeting that led to the SEC deciding to go with a 10-game conference-only schedule and not add the out-of-conference bonus game that took Kentucky-Louisville, Georgia-Georgia Tech, Florida-Florida State, and, of course, Clemson and South Carolina off the radar has been announced. 13-1 was the vote to not play out-of-conference games. This is interesting, Diesel. You want to take a stab at who the one school was to say that they did want to play that out-of-conference rivalry game?
I'm guessing it's the U of SC.
It is the U of SC. South Carolina was the lone Southeastern Conference vote to say that they did want to play that out-of-conference game. And I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I think it was a stand-up thing to do. I think it was the right way to handle that vote if you're South Carolina. I absolutely think that, if nothing else, I would have thought that Florida, that Georgia, and that Kentucky would have voted for it as well. But they all said no, which is very interesting. Monday on the show, now that that news is broken, we'll start to get some reaction to all of that. And Monday in the show, we'll spend some time evaluating that, what it means, how it all played out, and we'll see where we go from there moving forward. So there you have it. That's where we learn. Oh, and by the way, not that it is important, but the Florida-Georgia game, just for the sake of comparing it with other decisions, the Florida-Georgia game that is always played in Jacksonville, Florida, will still be played in Jacksonville, Florida, according to Georgia Athletic Director Greg McGarrity. McGarrity, just a few minutes ago, according to Seth Emerson, came out and said that Florida-Georgia will still play a neutral site game. I don't know why it matters. I mean, I guess you want a neutral site game to be a neutral site game with or without fans. But it's interesting to me that both Florida and Georgia said that they would not want to play their out-of-conference rivalry games, but they still want to actually have to bus their teams a few hours away to play in an NFL stadium on a random Saturday. Just, it doesn't make sense to me. Doesn't make sense. We'll address all that and more coming up on Monday. Now we take our final break of the show. We hit some Twitter trending topics, and we wrap up the week right here on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Here's what's happening on the internet. Let's see what Rob Brown knows about it. Topic number one, Ghislaine Maxwell.
Oh, God. Everything about 2020 is awful. It's just the worst. That one just makes me sad. And I just want to be abundantly clear that whole story, we all collectively have to together acknowledge that everything going on with her and with Epstein and with all these different people, this has to be a bipartisan thing, right? Like, I don't care who gets caught up in all of Jeffrey Epstein's awful, 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 awful stuff. I don't care who they are, heroes, villains, bad guys, good guys, Republicans, Democrats, anybody who is proven to be involved with Jeffrey Epstein and all that stuff that was going on at his little island down there, have to be absolutely thrown under the jail and then had another jail built on top of that jail. All right. This can't be something that we're arguing politically, right? Like, COVID-19 should not be a partisan topic, and everything going on with her and Epstein and all that. And it breaks my heart when I get online and people are like, oh, well, you know, the Republicans are all the Democrats. Well, what if it's Bill Clinton? What if it's okay? If it's Bill Clinton and Hillary, throw him in jail. If it's Donald Trump, throw him in jail. I don't care. If you're in that book and it's proven that you had any interaction with these psychopaths, you should be thrown in jail forever. And that should be the end of it. It blows my mind that somehow this is a political topic. It really does.
Yeah, topic number two is Antonio Brown.
There's been a couple of teams and players individually that have come out saying that they might have interest in Antonio Brown. And earlier it was reported today that Antonio Brown has been notified by the NFL that he is suspended without pay for the first 8 regular season games of the 2020 season for violation of the personal conduct policy. So even though he had guys like Lamar Jackson out there lobbying and saying that they were interested in bringing him in to make him a part of their squad, even if you do, he's sitting out 8 games now. So I genuinely don't see at this point how it is that you think that you would be able to bring Antonio Brown. And at this point, it makes no sense. So I would say this announcement, I'm not going to definitely say that it has effectively ended Antonio Brown's return to the NFL, but it has. I mean, who in the hell is bringing Antonio Brown onto their squad now? You get all the insanity that comes along with Antonio Brown, and BT Dubs, you don't get him for half the season. So, you know, good luck with all that, I guess.
Yeah, that is a mountain of stuff to get over to want to sign that guy. Topic number three is Lemon Pepper Lou.
Lemon Pepper Lou. I don't know who or what Lemon Pepper Lou is, so I'm just going to say this. Lemon Pepper is because, and for those of you who don't know how the game gets played, Diesel tells me what's trending on Twitter, and without looking it up, I give you my thoughts. I don't know who Lemon Pepper Lou is. What I do know is that Lemon Pepper is a vastly underappreciated spice for your fish, okay? I'm going to give you all a secret right now. Go get you some fresh amberjack, okay? Get you some fresh amberjack. I want you to put a nice dusting across the top of that amberjack. Then I want you to get you a fresh-picked lemon. I mean, brand new, just off the tree lemon. Cut that thing up. Give it a good hefty squeeze over the top of the amberjack. I want you to wrap that amberjack in foil, put that amberjack in foil, throw you some asparagus in there, maybe put in there, if you're really brave, throw you a couple of sauteed mushrooms in there, saute the mushrooms real light, then put them in that foil, wrap that foil up, put it on top of a barbecue grill, close that bad boy up, let it sit in there for a handful of minutes, and you are about to have the best fish you've had in a hot minute. And that's my take on Lemon Pepper Diesel. You're welcome.
Okay, Lemon Pepper Lou is a nickname that Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp gave to Lou Williams following the game last night versus the Clippers. Apparently, they've also cycled between Lemon Pepper Lou, Sweet Barbecue Lou, Louisiana Hot, and others.
Nobody's Chris Berman, okay?
Yeah, everybody wants to be throwing out classics like Edgar Trailers for Sale or Renteria, but you just can't. All right, yes. George Clinton is trending.
Look, I have seen George Clinton in concert. I'm assuming we're talking
P-Funk.
Funk. Okay, yeah. I've seen him in concert twice. Don't know why he's trending today. Hope he's not dead. Hope he doesn't have the Rona, because I'm going to feel like a douche. But George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic put on a concert, Diesel, that I cannot even describe. It is everything you think that a George Clinton concert is going to be, and then more. It is out of this world. It is psychedelic. It is lights and lasers and smoke and some damn fine music, my man.
All right, let's see. Beyonce is trending.
Yeah, Beyonce dropped a what's being called a visual album. So it's a Beyonce album, but the album is to be watched and listened to. It's got a lot of interpretive dance and stuff too.
That's asking a lot for people's attention spans right now.
Well, you know, but this one is supposed to be a. Kind of a Beyonce's take on the social justice struggle taking place around the country. It's called Black is King, and it is available, I believe, on Disney Plus. I saw earlier. So, you know, we'll see. I'll tell you what. One of the most controversial takes I've had in radio, I'm not a Beyonce fan, man. I'm just not. Like, give me Alicia Keys all day, every day. I'm just not a Queen Bey fan. I'll give it a shot because it seems like maybe it's going to be one of those culturally defining albums, whether you like it or not. I'll give it a shot, but I'm just not a big Beyonce fan. Give me some Rihanna all day, every day.
All right, trending side by side are Wawa and Sheetz.
So I had never been in a Wawa until I was here. I don't know what a Sheetz is.
It's a gas station chain.
Okay, that's what I would have guessed. I've never been to a Wawa. Look, I don't get into the gas station wars, Diesel. I've seen the gas station wars break out about, you know, is it Wawa or is it Busy Bee or is it, you know, Tom Thumb? I don't get into the gas station. At the end of the day, they're all convenience stores with a gas station attached, right? Yeah. Like, is there one that just does it so much better than everybody else that they're the king gas
station?
How
nice do you need a gas station to be?
Yeah. No, I will tell you. The only gas station that I've ever been to that I ever was like, okay, this is kind of setting the bar, is a Buc-ee's. You ever been at a Buc-ee's, Diesel? A Buc-ee's is a Walmart with a gas station attached. That's the only one I'd say is the king of the gas station wars. That's going to do it. Y'all have a great week. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Thank a soldier, sailor, air marine, firefighter, police officer, EMS, Coast Guardman, first responder, doctors, nurses. Can't do without them. Mark Ryan and Lonzo are up next for Offsides. Y'all have a great Friday. We'll be back Monday to do it all over again. Enjoy your weekend, people. I'm Rob Brown. This is the Rob Brown Show on ESPN. Up.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.